I have something that I want to share with our board members, and that is that I'm planning to take a vacation in January. My wife received an award to have a sabbatical, and I would like to spend some time with her during her sabbatical.
And where are you planning on being in, out of the country, in the country?
We're planning to be in Colombia.
Ah, okay. For how long, if I may ask?
For 4 weeks.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, we'll accept that as a statement at this point in time, but that, and how much, just, you know, excuse my ignorance, but your annual vacation accrual is how much?
It's 30 days.
30 days.
4 weeks, yeah.
Okay. All right. I understand that. If there's any, does anyone have any concerns at this point?
No concerns, but I'm sure we'll hear whether you're going to appoint somebody in your absence, or whether
yes,
you're going to be attending by Zoom or what.
Yes.
Okay.
I will provide that that report at the board meeting, but definitely Chris Christensen will be taking my place in my absence.
Great.
So I'm confident that we have the staff in place that will be taking care of business and keeping us moving forward.
What kind of award did she get?
A sabbatical.
Oh, a sabbatical was the award. I see. Yes. I see. Carl, congratulations. That's very pleasant. Okay. Is there anything else on your agenda for today?
No, that is all. Thank you.
Okay. Chris, would you bring us up to date on the leasing issues to the extent that they are?
Absolutely. And just to mention too, we are not presenting any financial statements this month. It was just too short and too cramped with me being away and that. So we'll provide a combined December or November and December at the January F&A committee meeting.
Okay.
So with regard to the CAO report, not included in this, I just wanted to let the finance committee be aware that we do have a couple of bank accounts that were compromised, so to speak. So we are in the process of closing and assigning new accounts for our district operating account, as well as our investment account for the facilities replacement fund. There were no funds that were distributed. All of our safeguards were in place, so there was not a concern from the standpoint that anything transactional took place. But just out of precaution, we are closing and opening new accounts for those two.
Okay, and in the same light, yesterday I received a phishing email, ostensibly from Letty, inviting me to share financial information and to execute a bank transfer. And that was so out of the ordinary that, which I wouldn't have accomplished in any event, that I mentioned it to Chris. And just as I was about to call him, he's calling me. And therefore, we just need to sensitize everyone on the board that any message that it sounds out of order, notwithstanding who the ostensible source might be, could easily be an attempt to compromise and penetrate our systems. And therefore, safety is always encouraged in terms of contacting Conrado or Chris to report anything that looks unusual or is too good to be true, either one.
Well, and one of the things I like to communicate with that is that, you know, in these phishing messages, some of them are just going to get through our security level kind of no matter what, because we just can't, you know, close the gate, so to speak. But one of the things I like for people to look at is the actual email address that it's coming from, because it might say a person's name, like in this case, it said Letty's name, but the email address was, you know, some bizarre email address. So that's usually a pretty good indication that it's, you know, a phishing type of email.
If I might make a suggestion, I don't, first of all, I don't think this warning should be done at a public meeting. Of course, nobody's here besides us, but I think at the board, it shouldn't be done, but it would be good if, Chris, you contacted each director or something came from Jeff to each director, however you want to do it, outlining this, making clear the different ways of entry that it could be from. I mean, for example, people don't know my email, my district email was hacked. And that was one way they tried to do that. So there are different ways of doing it, either from, it could actually be from a director's email being hacked, or it could be a fake email phishing like what Arthur evidently got. But I think it would be good to let all the directors, and of course you can tell the staff yourself, but I wouldn't do it at a public meeting.
Well, I understand your position. Okay. We can, any other issues relative to your agenda, Chris?
Let's move to
on that real quick before we move on. Chris, in order to open the new accounts, are you going to need signatures of board members again, or is that?
We will. Yeah, so I'll be distributing new documents in that.
I want to make sure that if you show up, that I know that it's you. That it's not a clone of Chris. Okay.
You know, there's a story behind that that I could tell that would be a real problem with a lookalike of mine. So.
Oh my.
But that's a different conversation.
So. Look, we have two Alejandros on video today. Exactly. One of them is real, and one of them isn't. What's going on?
Perfect timing.
Are you going to require wet signatures again, Chris, or can we do this back your sign?
Yeah, no, we'll do wet signatures. So I'll get those distributed when we get the documents completed.
Okay. Anything on the leasing agenda?
Yeah. So on that, I just, you know, it's the same as far as we have the two vacancies at the Medical Plaza. Things I'm sure will be quiet through the remainder of the year. Hopefully things will pick up on those suites going into 2022. Did want to point out that, you know, there was some conversation, I think, at the last couple of board meetings regarding Director Rogers. And I think I understood her to talk about, since there's such, like with our facility, we have such limited vacancy, is there a concern or an interest from district to pursue, you know, looking at adding new real estate or new medical plaza suites? To me, I think that's part of a later agenda item, which will be looking at the needs of the Coachella Valley, the healthcare horizon. And you know, because I just because we have only two vacancies, we don't know what the volume of vacant medical suites is compared to, you know, medical providers that are out there and what the actual need or demand is. But just wanted to make that communication aware to the committee.
Okay, thank you.
Can I say something about that?
Sure, go ahead.
Two things. One, I can tell you the shortage of providers has nothing to do with the shortage of provider space in the Coachella Valley. That's number one. And number two, in order for the district to do that, there's some implication that somehow we would be interested in building medical offices. And that is not, at least my understanding, of our strategic priorities right now. So why would we want to do a study in that area? So I don't know how you want to handle it. But I just don't think it's indicated.
So how do we address the fact that it was brought up by a board member? It's not on the agenda for today, but we're hearing from staff that it's not an issue. So will that just be indicated in the minutes as part of the real estate, the CAO's report that we had talked about it and that we, by consensus, did not determine that there was any necessary action at this time, but it will be brought up in the future as part of our regular process? Is how do we address it?
Well, now that you've said all that, we'll just put it in the minutes.
And to me, coming out of the board meeting, I don't think there was a consensus of the board members to pursue that.
Right.
But I think I recall, Letty, you indicating that we should maybe discuss it at the FNA committee. So that's why.
And we can discuss it because we're not taking an action.
Correct.
Because we discussed it and our consensus is that we're not recommending that staff do anything right now.
Okay.
Right, if anything, it could get folded into discussions in the strategic planning committee as just a component element of space utilization and capacity, and leave it at that.
It could just be reflected in the minutes that we did talk about it, so that way we are responding to her request that we consider it. We at this point don't feel there's a need for it.
Not only will we do that, we are going to indicate that you brought it up.
Chris brought it up.
You brought up the action step.
I have an additional comment about that. So, Director Zendel, when you were saying that there's no correlation between the supply of medical providers and the medical space, so we have a shortage of medical providers, right?
Definitely.
So if there are medical suites available, and say, for example, the district built a medical facility and to help encourage medical providers to come to the desert, you know, giving them a sweet deal to get into, you know, a medical suite for a while, is there a correlation that if there's not the available suites, that could impact influencing medical providers?
So again, this is my opinion, all right? The reason we have a shortage of medical providers in the Coachella Valley is multifactorial. I don't think it has much to do with the expense of office space. I think it has to do with the fact that young families don't want to move here because there aren't a lot of kids and schools and things like that, necessarily the advancement of career. Again, it's multifactorial, but I've never heard anybody say, I'm not bringing my practice to Coachella Valley because office space is too expensive. That's just not the case.
Yeah.
Or available.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's not an issue, I don't believe.
Yeah, and that was kind of my point, is just because we have, you know, a low vacancy rate doesn't mean that there's not office space across the valley.
You could also argue that one thing we've learned with the pandemic is that commercial property is not as much in demand as it was before because people aren't coming to the office as much. So this is not my prediction. I've read that we expect there to be a glut of some commercial property, and rents will go down because there isn't the need for people to come to the office as much anymore.
Mm. And part of the reason that we have, you know, the vacancy factor that we have is due to the proximity of the medical plaza being, you know, a walk across the street to the hospital.
And there are vacancies there across the street at El Mirador.
Well, that's, yeah, you would be aware of that. And I wasn't aware how much vacancy they have there. So
when we walked through, remember we walked through a few months ago, there were several vacant suites.
Right. That's true. And also across the street at where Kaiser's office is too, across Indian Canyon.
So, okay, excellent. Let's we have a new item on other matters. I think that's something Conrado wants to introduce. Am I right about that?
That will be the next.
Item 7-1.
7-1, the guidehouse, yes. So the proposal, let me go back to, during our conversations, during the strategic planning process, we talked about developing a vision for the healthcare of the One Coachella Valley. Now that we have the expansion in place, We had discussions of whether having one hospital in Palm Springs is the best thing for the district, whether we should have smaller hospital in Palm Springs, trying to build a small hospital in the East Valley. There was a lot of conversation about that. And we decided that our goal number 1.1 of the strategic plan was to create this vision for our One Coachella Valley, understand what the needs are, what hospital utilization trends are, population growth, factor in all these things, and hire a group that would help us do that. I had a conversation with Steve Valentine, who now joined this group, the Guidehouse, and he submitted the proposal that you have attached. Also, to support this idea, at the last ad hoc committee, we had a conversation about this, and it was the direction of the board that we move in that direction as part of our strategic move to make a decision of how best to re-lease the hospital. So that's a proposal that's before you. We reviewed it. I think it's pricey, but we recommend that we move forward in that direction.
Would you please review the financial elements, please?
The financial element is $250,000 to complete that task. We anticipate it's going to take between 4 and 6 months to get it done, and it's going to be done by this group. It's a fairly large group, the Guidehouse. They have different divisions. One of their divisions is healthcare, and they specialize in hospitals and government-owned healthcare facilities.
I have a procedural question. I'm very supportive of working with Steve. I've known him for a long time. And as he's demonstrated in our strategic planning process, he's an extremely competent individual. But does the order of magnitude of the project demand an RFP?
That is a question that we should discuss with our legal counsel. I think we have the ability to go sole source in this case, because Steve Valentine was the person who designed our strategic plan, and he has previously been engaged by the board to do similar strategic assessments for the healthcare district prior to the healthcare to the expansion to the East Valley.
And typically, legal counsel will, at least in the past, whether he would this time, I assume he would, indicate that if it's a specialty or specialized type of engagement like this, that we can go sole source.
We can. Okay. I would endorse Steve without any hesitation. The order of magnitude of the contract is I don't know how to gauge that. I don't recall seeing any commitment in terms of time inside of that proposal. Was there any discussion with Steve about that, Conrado?
Yes, there was. And there is a timeline that is included in the proposal. They stipulate 16 weeks. We believe it might take a little longer, but the contract is up to $250,000. So we will not pay more, even if the process is delayed for
a few weeks. But they didn't describe the commitment of their hours in terms of how many man hours is coming into the project.
No.
Okay. All right, just point of information. So the intent is to move this item to the full board for action, effective. Yeah. If everything stays on this trajectory, the project will start when?
It would start in January, although I would suggest that we start in February.
Okay, because of your absence, okay. And yeah. Is it anticipated that we, the board, will participate, or is most of the work going to be done off campus to us with reports to us, or is it a combination of both?
It will be reported to the ad hoc committee, because this will be a strategic work.
So it'll be an analysis rather than soliciting more inputs from us.
Rather, yes.
Yeah, okay. I understand. Any other questions, Letty, Les? Yes, sir. Les?
Letty, do you want to go first? Go ahead.
Okay, so thank you. There's a couple of questions. One is I read somewhere in the report that this organization was uniquely qualified for this position, Guidehouse. And at first that caught my attention because I didn't think that Steve Valentine, even though I don't have the history that some other board members have with him, I didn't think that he necessarily was an expert in this area. But then when Conrado explained at the beginning of this that he joined Guidehouse, so maybe that is what is responsible for the confidence that they say that they have in this area. So when the idea of doing an RFP, that kind of caught my attention because I'm just wondering the most qualified for this. The other thing that I thought about as I was looking at this were the deliverables. To me, they seem kind of vague. So I'm not sure if these are deliverables that they are proposing or if this was with staff input. So I think that needs to be ironed out a little bit. And maybe that would be if we were to proceed to the contract stage, that would be a little bit more explained and detailed, because I think it's a little bit too vague. So those were my 2 points. Thank you.
It's deliberately vague because of the public nature of the proposal. Remember, all the discussions, all the conversations, and a final product will be delivered to the ad hoc committee. I don't think that essentially this will be public until it's final and we decide that we're ready for prime time.
Okay, very good. And you're completely confident, Conrado, that they are the most qualified without having considered other entities?
I believe there are other companies that could do similar work. I think the comfort we have is the history of working with Steve Valentine that many of our existing board members have had in the past, and they have always expressed a very high opinion of his work.
I'm wondering if there are a follow-up question, sorry. If there are any of those that come to mind just at the top of your head that are more regional, that might have, like UCR, for example, that have more of an investment in this work of healthcare and vision and so forth. Those are the entities of being critical of by some entities that say you didn't even give us a consideration. So.
Les?
I have a couple issues here. Does anybody remember this? You see it?
Mm-hmm. March, on the website.
March 2017, an engagement of, I believe Steve Valentine was part of this, but correct me if I'm wrong.
He was the primary individual with
it. So we engaged them to assess the current and future healthcare service needs in the greater Coachella Valley for a 10-year planning horizon. The scope was to include, and there's a whole list of things which are relevant and which they did, and there's a report. And I don't think anything's changed since this report has come out. So I don't understand why we're spending a penny to repeat a report that we've already done.
When was this done, Les? Just for my interest, I haven't seen that.
Well, I think that you and Letty, if you haven't seen this, ought to look at it because it does exactly what we want. And let me just read you.
What year was it done?
2017 is what he's saying.
2017,
March of 2017. So, for example, in the executive summary, it says that inpatient utilization will probably decrease over time because more things are done as outpatients, but that will probably be made up for by the population increase and by the aging of the population. It talks about demographic changes. It talks about ER access. It talks about health professional shortage, which I, as I said, is a problem of health professional shortage, not offices. It talks about subspecialty shortages, and it's a very good report. And I don't see that anything's changed, and I don't understand the purpose of doing this. So maybe before we have a discussion, Arthur and Letty and maybe other people need to review this and see what's in here that needs to be updated. Now, maybe somebody can make a case that there's some stuff that needs to be updated or do the next step. But when I read the proposal that was presented, it says here that at least half of the time is done as a situational assessment. Well, that's already been done. And then it starts about preliminary vision and resource requirements. Again, some of that's already been done, and I don't see why we're doing it again. So I'll shut up for a minute.
Not having seen that report, but let's just assume for the sake of what I'm going to say next, that report is spot on, dated 2017. Then really what we might need is a refresher to that, as opposed to a de novo analysis, which changes the entire scope and cost profile of it, if that report is half of what we need. Now,
can I just add one other thing? There's not only that issue, which you just mentioned, but then I think we need to figure out, well, what are we going to do with that data that's somehow going to inform the healthcare district in terms of, as you said, in Desert Regional Medical Center, and by the way, it's addressed in this report, the size of Desert Regional Medical Center and things like that, and the shortage of inpatient beds on the east side, it's all in this report.
Well, no, that becomes a very crucial element for the ad hoc committee dealing with Tenet and the strategic planning committee, because theoretically, based on the content of that report, we might reach some tentative array decisions about services and size of services. And then if you add in the seismic issue, and let's say, and again, I'm just making up a concept here to discuss, that the tower, the seismic rehab of the tower is X hundreds of thousands of dollars or $1 million, it then raises the opportunity to say, then therefore, if we saved $1 million on the tower or $500,000 on the tower, and we added $500,000 on in some other context, it begins to change the mix. So I think it becomes very important. It becomes a very important component document as we on the tenant side try to figure out what do we want to tell them we want? Because until we know what we want, I don't know how we can move the tenant agenda forward. And we can't until we have the seismic issues organized and we have this issue organized about deployment of capacity here and on the east side, the west side, et cetera. Now, in light of that, I'd like to see a copy of that report before I made any decisions, because it really changes the whole landscape of the decision. And $250,000 is, you know, as Everett Dirksen said, eventually you start to talk about real money. And $250,000 gets people's attention. So given that Conrado's going to be away for a month, how about if we use that time period in the committee structure to distribute it appropriately to the various committees, so it or as appropriate, I'm not sure I know what appropriate is, so please excuse me in that sense, to begin to formulate some position incorporating, inclusive of this report lesson. I really thank you for bringing that up. Wow.
So I would suggest that both the ad hoc tenant committee and this committee look at this report and discuss it in their committees to see what, if anything, needs to be done or added to it.
Right. Okay. And also for the whoever is considered for this, that they take that into account, because in this proposal, step two and step three are the bulk of the work. And if they can take into account this report and integrate it to our strategic plan, it might do a lot of the work already, because they don't have to start at step one. Right. They could start.
What I don't understand is Steve Valentine participated in this, so he must know about it.
Yeah. Well, knowing and using it are two different things. I mean, if he's, don't forget, he's still selling. He's still selling. So I think if we put it back to them, is it okay if we, you know, give it to Greenhouse and have them Guidehouse, I should say, and have them rethink their proposal in light of it?
I wouldn't do that yet. I would let us look at it and then ask ourselves, what do we need? And then ask Greenhouse, once we know what we need, what they can provide Guidehouse. Or what we need.
Guidehouse, but you better not listen to me.
Whatever it's called.
Green Bloom. Okay. All right. All right. So who has, Chris, I assume you can distribute copies of this to?
It's online.
I'm in the process of emailing it to you guys now too.
It's so. Right on the front page. You know, we have a lot of documents on the front page of the website for transparency, and that's on there as well.
But Chris, will you send it to the?
I'm emailing it right now.
Okay. So yeah, this will guide us to it, and then it'll come up in the next committee cycle in January. Fair enough. Is that our general understanding here, folks?
Yeah, and Chris, I don't want to put you on the spot, but I mean, what do you think? Based on, I mean, you know what was in here.
Well, I don't know how much would have changed from 2017 to now, but I mean, that was a document that was done back then. I know at the time we were still just the district through Cook Street. However, I know this market analysis, I think, was intended to be for the Coachella Valley.
But
I think in the mind of the directors at that time, it was a little bit more of a focus, I think, with the current district boundaries. But in conjunction with, you know, the beginning of the work with Tenet with regard to the lease. So
absolutely. And as Arthur said, I think that one of the reasons to sort of see where all this is to inform the ad hoc committee and eventually the board about the tenant lease, the hospital lease. So, I mean, all that stuff is in here. And then I would also remind you that then I believe Kaufman Hall took some of this information and did various scenarios. Somebody did various scenarios that looked at, you know, what if we built a hospital somewhere else? What if we had small emergency rooms? I mean, all those different aspects have already been looked at. I hate to pay somebody else to do it again. And I don't think the data has changed one bit in the last 4 years. If anything, COVID, you know, it's muddied by COVID over the last 2 years. And I don't think you can make any long range things based on that.
Les, you just raised a very interesting agenda. Chris, I'd like you, if you don't mind, to go through, and Andrea as well, go through the archive of the last couple of years of our consulting engagements documents to answer the question, what else do we have like the document Les brought to our attention that needs to be evaluated for its currency or its supplemental or adjunctive value? I think, you know, they may, because now you're alluding to another cycle of documents, Les, that Kaufman and Hall may have done. So let's take a step back and ask staff to look at that to see what else we have in our archives that now has to be brought forward so that when and if we engage or how we engage incorporates everything to avoid repaying for something we don't need to repay for. So
I want to bring something to your attention. First of all, I value your input and your feedback on this proposal greatly. There are two things that I think are important to highlight. Number one, when those documents were created, we had a board composition that was different. There was a strategic vision for the district that was radically different than what it is today. We had conversations about selling the hospital and not leasing the hospital. We did not have the expansion in place. The expansion was theoretical at that time. Now the expansion is here. There are different political forces today than there were back in 2016, 2017, when this report was created. We had new population data. We had a COVID pandemic that has come to alter the healthcare landscape. So I think that there is a number of things that have changed over the time, and very particularly the way that we see the world and our strategic direction for what should be done with this regional medical center that will influence how this report is going to inform our current board and the strategic direction we want to take. And finally, just 2 weeks ago, we had an ad hoc committee meeting where we talked exactly about moving forward with creating this vision for the Coachella Valley and the direction that the staff gave, that the board gave to the staff was to do exactly this. I agree with you. I think that the price tag is pretty high, and I'm willing to go back to negotiate with Steve Ballantyne and talk about, you know, I know that there was a report that you created for us a few years ago. Why can't you use part of that? And we have the strategic plan, we have the needs assessment, we have a lot of things that have been done that probably can reduce the price tag of this work.
That's exactly right. That's exactly the point, Conrado. You ran around the bases, but you finally got to home plate. That's exactly the point. What do we have that can serve as foundational components to what we need at the margin of newness? Because there is new. There's no question. There's a lot of new, but there may be elements that don't have to be replicated. They have financial ramifications, they have time ramifications, and they have efficiency ramifications. So yeah, you're absolutely right. That would be the whole point of our reviewing this, to give you the foundation to go back to Steve. Or when you pull together with staff the previous documents, you can go ahead and begin that process on your own, concurrent to us taking a look at it in the next set of meeting cycles. So I would encourage you to do that. Sure. No question.
It's important.
Letty's had her hand up, Chris.
Go ahead, Letty.
Thank you, Andrea. So I, after hearing our CEO, I am even more convinced now that we need to do an RFP. I think the reason why is being able to put it in the description of what are the resources that are available, what are our expectations, and then seeing what is it that they bring to the table. So I do not like the idea of just going to Guidehouse and hearing from one. I would rather be able to make a comparison. It's not the dollar amount. I know that we can do it, but I just think that going into this, I would rather have the consider alternatives rather than regret not having looked at it from the beginning.
But we can't really ask for an RFP. We can't ask for an RFP until we know what it is that we want.
Exactly.
Okay, exactly. Let's do an RFQ then. And no, at the point when we're ready to do it, I do not want to automatically start negotiating.
I don't disagree. But I do think there's more work to be done once we find out what's here and what else. But I think the step from the data to what we're asking for is still nebulous for me. I mean, Arthur brings in the seismic stuff and the purchase versus lease. All those are sort of peripheral issues. The reality is we were looking at what the vision, I mean, the words are the same. What are assess the current and future healthcare needs of the greater Coachella Valley for 10 years. That's what this does. And there may be some changes. I don't think there's a lot of changes in what they found, but let's at least all be on the same page before we move forward.
Understood. Okay. Well, let's get these new reports circulated to the relevant committees, and then we'll pick it up at that point. If that's a consensus among us, Chris, go ahead.
And I think it's important to note too that the timing of this market analysis was also at the time that we were doing our 3-year strategic plan back in 2017. So it was also part of that, and one of the I guess thoughts or the mantra at that time was a One Coachella Valley thought process with that strategic plan. So that was part of this process as well.
Thank you.
Can I just note the scenarios, Les, that you're referring to, those were presented, they were presented by Kaufman Hall, but all that information was confidential in a closed session. And the materials were not distributed so that no board members would share them with anyone.
Okay, but there's no reason Letty and Arthur can't see them.
Well, I think I did see them already. But nice to revisit them.
I think Letty was there too. And I think that was back when we had it at the Cathedral City Senior Center. But I'll look, Jeff may have those documents, but I know that I don't, because we did not hold on to them for confidential purposes to ensure that it didn't get out.
Chris, do you have them?
I mean, I have them available. I mean, maybe it's something that we should have sent via Jeff. I think that's how we did it before.
Okay.
I do know that the hard copies, and to Andrea's point, I think the hard copies were collected at the end of the meeting.
Will you discuss that with them, Chris, and then arrange for the appropriate distribution, please?
I'll defer that to Conrado, and then he can guide.
Okay. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Excuse me, committee members, just for clarity. So the direction is that this document goes before all of the committees. Is that correct? No. Let's mention ad hoc.
The ad hoc committee and the strategic, the ad hoc committee. And let's finance. Go ahead.
The ad hoc committee and the finance committee. That's for now. I would do that.
Because okay, so we're going to send it to the ad hoc committee the once least. They meet, and then bring it back to the F&A committee. Is that correct?
No, I'm sorry. It should be reviewed by the ad hoc facilities committee and this finance committee.
Right.
And then discussed in the finance committee.
Well, I mean, I think the ad hoc facilities committee has a piece of it because of the facility, but there are some other things in here having to do with other.
But ultimately, in order to move the agenda forward, it has to come back through this committee on its way to the board or not.
Thank you. That was my question. Yes. That was my question.
Okay.
Once it goes to the ad hoc, then it will come back to F&A. Is that correct?
Yeah. Well, concurrently, they'll look at it, and hopefully we'll get it in sequence so we don't waste an extra month. But ultimately, it'll reappear on the agenda for the finance committee.
But I wouldn't do it sequentially. I would have both the
finance concurrently. But with the report from the ad hoc to the next finance committee, so it's not sequential, and we don't waste an extra month.
Why does the ad hoc committee have to report to the finance committee? I don't understand.
Well, if they have any inputs to share with the committee, what's the point of them looking at it if they're not going to share their conclusions?
Okay. I mean, if they have input, fine. But
Okay. And I sit on both of those committees, so I guess I will be the messenger from the ad hoc committee should there be anything of relevance to bring back to you all. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because I sit on both of those committees. All right. Is there any other new business to come before this august body, before we fade into the sunset?
Well, we have another item.
We do? Oh, the communications and marketing plan. Conrado, would you like to discuss that, please?
Yes. As part of our growth and as part as we intensify our presence in the community, which is critically important for the months to come as we negotiate the lease of a hospital and the future of the Coachella Valley healthcare infrastructure, I believe it is critical that we have a very solid presence. And for that, we have to have a communications and marketing plan. So I we work with Will to make sure that we have this communication plan in place. We want to share this as an information item with the board, and Will is going to present his communication plan
at the next meeting. Is that the intent, or do we know yet?
Yes, okay. Right now Will has the plan
as we tonight.
Yes.
Oh. It's actually.
Oh, hi. Oh, hello.
Hi, everyone. It's actually in the packet, and there's a staff report, and I just give you some highlights. You know, just going back a little bit, in September 2018, when we approved the last plan, we were really looking at a general approach to communications and marketing, raising awareness in the community about who and what the district is and what the district does. And with that in mind, we were thinking about expansion, which was to follow a couple of months later. A lot has happened since then, as Conrado mentioned during the last item. And this new communications and marketing plan reflects that, how the district has changed and continues to evolve. Three primary examples of that would be the strategic plan that the board approved in October. You know, that's going to have to be, the plan itself will have to be promoted and communicated to our community and our stakeholders. We are planning an online seminar early next year to do that. But also any decisions and programs and partnerships and initiatives that come out of that plan will also need to be promoted and communicated. So that's one example of something that's very different in this plan. Another would be our behavioral health program and staff member now. We've always had the initiative, but now we have someone who's working very hard with partners and coming up with just a new approach to identify needs and opportunities in the Valley. And I'm working very closely with Jana to make sure that information gets out to our community so that people understand what we're doing and how we're contributing to improving behavioral health services and programs in the Valley. And the third example I want to give you is our focus on equity. It's now part of our vision statement. Probably the most visual example of that would be our work as part of and with the Coachella Valley Equity Collaborative in response to COVID. We're still very much a part of working in response to COVID. And we're talking about doing some other things in a collaborative manner after that, also to address equity. So all of these things need to be marketed and communicated. That's part of the plan. Then there are things that are pretty standard for any agency that are coming up next year. We need our crisis plan. That's to be posted and shared in September. Our annual report next November. Our history book is coming out next year. So there are a lot of things that we're planning that need to be promoted and shared with our community. That's in the report. I'm happy to answer any questions that you have. I hope that you get a chance to read it. Thank you.
Would anybody have any comments? I'd like to reserve mine to the end.
I have a question on your summary page. On the last to the second bullet point, post a crisis plan in September 22 to ensure all stakeholders are informed and assess the post response. Is that something new, or I hadn't heard that before?
What's the crisis plan?
That's a crisis communication plan. For example, if anything happens in our community where, for example, if there's a natural disaster or if something happens on the campus of a hospital, the media people are going to turn to us because of our association. And we need to have a plan in place to identify who speaks to the media. If it starts with Conrado, goes to the board, that sort of thing.
Okay, thank you for that clarification. A couple of just observations, not necessarily, they're not major. One minor thing is when you mentioned about the website, on the website, I know I have had to call our chief engagement officer a couple of times to ask him, hey, what's going on this weekend? Is there any possibility that we could have not only our board meetings or committee meetings on our calendar, but some of the things that are going on in the community, especially right now with COVID, you know, some of the outreach efforts that we're having, can we have some of those things on there?
So you're talking about expanding our calendar to include other health and wellness events, or yes, broader than that? Okay.
Yes.
I don't see why we can't do that. It might change. We might need to do a separate calendar because I know there's a lot in terms of what we're doing on there. But yeah, I can definitely look into that.
Okay. And the other observation I knew that we were looking into having some kind of a relationship with IEHP, with our CVHIP. I didn't know that we had actually decided to rename it to be Connect IE. Where are we with that contract? Are we already, is that coming to the board soon, or?
Yeah, Leti, that contract will come to the board at its due moment. We don't have control over the name,
okay,
because that is a property of IEHP.
Okay.
But yes, absolutely.
Okay, very good. Those are two my observations when I was looking at this that caught my attention. Thank you.
Great, thank you.
Any other thoughts, Les? Go ahead, please.
Yeah, just on a semi-related topic. Will, there's so much information on our website. And I realize that I may not be the best observer of finding things, but I often have trouble finding stuff. So for example, if I want a document, I see, well, there's this thing that says documents, but what I'm looking for is not there. And so I call somebody and they say, oh, go down to the bottom of the main page and you'll see it. I think when you get used to using it, you know where things are, but for somebody mm-hmm. who doesn't know where things are, it's hard. So you might bring in a couple virgin face website people to look at it and say, can you navigate around and find what you're looking for? Because I have trouble, and maybe it's just me.
Well, I have the same issue, but the more times I get on it, it becomes easier. But if you have people that have never had exposure to it, and if they had a bad experience, they're less likely to come back the next time. But I was envisioning that was something that you're going to do during your process, since it's not going to be until January 2024 that we have a website update, right? So you're going to be thinking about all these things? Okay.
Yeah, so the more formal update would be in January 2024, but it's constantly evaluating the website and changing it. I've done a lot of work with the grants team to make that process easier for potential applicants and existing applicants to find what they need. So your feedback is always welcome. So please feel free to share that with me. I'm always looking at it, and we'll definitely take that into consideration.
Sometimes, well, a site map helps too. So you can just click on the particular location that someone's looking for.
Right, that's a good point. Thank you, Andrea.
I have one collateral issue, not related to that which you've presented, Will, but rather in the broader constellation of marketing and community contact. And when you have too much time on your hands and you have a chance to think, sometimes you come up with some interesting ideas. I did mention this to Conrado, and I wonder what the potential is for us to develop with at no cost to the district using public access television or radio funds. I was thinking initially of a radio program, a half an hour radio program with Conrado as the moderator, and our grantees as the people to be interviewed, giving them a platform to explain to the community what they're doing, us having the ability to say, here, this is an organization we're doing. And if we had a half hour radio program every week, we have enough material to go the whole year with no problem. And I just wonder if there's, I haven't seen any television, community access television in a long time in this town. I've seen it in other places I've lived, and I know the radio stations have it. And most importantly, Eisenhower has a half an hour radio show, and that just grinds me that we don't have a competing, if not better, facility to reach the public that way. And I'd like to fold that into your thought process without any pressure or time commitment for delivery, but I'd like you to get you and thinking about that and ultimately collaborate with the rest of the staff to see if it can be done practically speaking, all things equal. It still has to be practical for us.
That's a really, thank you for that. That's a really interesting idea. We've done something similar, but on a much smaller scale. When we did our nonprofit of the month, that was video and that was speaking to their grantees. And they would talk about what they do in the community and how the district had helped them. So it benefited them and it benefited us.
Right.
I will say I've not seen any community action television other than, you know, the municipalities have their channels on Spectrum, usually focused on just what they're doing. But I can certainly see exploring that with radio.
Definitely. With radio, I'm pretty sure radio does have that capability. It's required by federal law, if I'm not mistaken. Anyway, it's just a thought to make sure you don't run out of things to think about.
Thank you.
I'm gonna imitate Arthur by saying this is a procedural question. On item number 7-1, it said an action item. I know we gave staff direction, but do we need to take a formal action on that, Andrea?
I think we've defectively tabled it by not moving the motion forward.
Can you confirm that, Andrea?
Right. There was no motion. There was just direction from staff.
Okay, very good.
Thank you, Madam President. We appreciate your attention to the detail. Never too much of that. Okay, I'd like to call for adjournment if there's a consensus on moving to adjournment.
Can I just point out before you do, this is the study session book that was dated November 2017, and it has not only the market analysis, but the lease transaction summary, the VMG Health business enterprise value, the seismic study, and the Kaufman Hall scenarios in it.
Wow. Yeah, I'd like to see that.
I remember that. I put that together.
Okay. Well, I'd like to get a copy of that next time Pony Express comes through Palm Desert. Thank you. Is there any other new business before the committee adjourns? If not, I'd like to adjourn this committee meeting. And with a 10-second pause, I'd like to invite everyone to the Healthcare Foundation agenda, which will start in about 5 seconds. Thank you very much. I'd like to call that the Desert Healthcare Foundation meeting to order at 4:40 and request a motion to approve the agenda as submitted.
So moved. Second.
And all by acclamation, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much. It's my understanding, confirmed, Andrea, there's still no public comment to be had. Correct. Okay. I'd like to the November 9th FNA committee meeting, the foundation committee minutes require a motion of acceptance. Is there such a motion?
I'll move approval.
I'll second.
And
I'm on the other side. Oh, well, that's what I was wondering.
The finger directed that agenda. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you very much. Dr. Barzaga, do we have a committee report for this meeting, sir?
No, nothing to report from the CEO.
Nothing to report from the CEO. Chris, is there anything from an operational point that we need to discuss from a financial point?
There is not from the foundation.
There's nothing at this time. Is there any new business to fall before this august body?
I was just curious, why did we have a meeting today for the foundation if there was nothing besides the minutes?
Well, I think it's just
approve the minutes.
Pro forma, so the minutes don't get out of sync. Is there any,
because we had the district meeting, otherwise we wouldn't have.
Okay. Okay.
Okay, so I would like to call for adjournment if there's no other discussion. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for recording the shortest meeting in the history of the Desert Healthcare District, 1:12.
Woo-hoo! Everyone have a good evening. Bye-bye.
Have a good evening. Take care. You. Bye-bye.
Bye.